Open your Bibles to the most familiar scripture in the Bible. How many of you know what that is? John 3:16. Let's stand together while we read, please. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I can't ever read that verse without reading the next one. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Our Father, guide us now for a few minutes as we look into Thy Word. Help us, dear Lord, to rightly divide the Word. Give us that heavenly, holy unction that we might preach only that that would be pleasing unto Thee. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. For Christ's sake I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I don't think I'll receive any argument at all when I tell you that one of the most misunderstood and misinterpreted words in the Bible is the word love. And it's not only misinterpreted in the Bible, it's misinterpreted in general in our whole universe. So many folks today are applying that word incorrectly. The Bible said, without any apology, and don't you jump the fence on me now, God is love. Never said He's one of them, He said God is. Now, any time you want to apply that word, you've got to include Him. Now, that just can't be overlooked. It just cannot be. Somebody said you love your children, you love your wife, you love this, you love that. Now, that may be true up to a point, but you can never really love anybody until you know the Lord. God is love. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, here's the right application. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now, you don't just lightly apply that. When you say, I love the Lord, God said you're going to love Him with everything in you. There's another word, and that's the word believe. Somebody said, doesn't the Bible say, with the heart man believeth? Yes, sir. But it's not talking about that thumping muscle down in your chest. It's talking about the very most innermost being of your being. God said, when you love me with all your heart. When you believe in me, you believe in with all your heart. You just can't do this halfway. I hear so many folks said, I love the Lord. Well, God said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's just that simple, isn't it? God said, if you love me. Now, I could get you to raise your hand today and say, how many of you love the Lord? I'm not going to do that. But the question comes today to our hearts. Do we love Him with all of our heart? Do we really love Him? He said, if you do, you will. Never you may, you just. He said, you'll do what I tell you. Amen. You will do what I... Now, you said, well, all the commandments are the Ten Commandments. No. This book is your commandment. Every page, every one of them, that God said... Now, you said, well, wait a minute, preacher, what about the Old Testament? See, the Old Testament is our schoolmaster. It's types and shadows. But there's not one simple thing that you can keep in context and misapply when you said, I want to serve the Lord with all my heart. You can sure get a lot of teaching out of this old Bible. Now then notice, I want to just talk on the word love. I never have been in a day, and you never have either, when you see so many homes breaking apart. Am I right? Oh, every way you turn, every way you look, every place. And all of you, most of you know, I start to say all of you know, most of you know that I do not condone abusive beating up and abusive marriages. And where the woman's life is in danger or something. I just don't condone that. Amen? But I want to tell you something right now. There's a lot of homes put together that God had nothing to do with. Now, whatsoever God has joined together, and you know how He does it? With love. So many times the home is put together with infatuation or lust. No love. Now, I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not. I'm really not. Ooh, isn't he cool? Oh, boy. And on the other hand, ooh, isn't she something? He makes my heart just bump, 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 bump. Somehow, without that one ingredient, lust but no love, infatuation but no love. Hey, let me ask you a question. When you're just a little old bitty kid, you remember that first case of puppy love? Huh? How many of you? No, I'm not going to ask that. Puppy love. Hayden and Hunter's got a puppy. That ain't the kind of puppy love I'm talking about. They got a new puppy. Hayden, is that puppy all right? What about Hunter? All right. But my dear friend, listen. You say, well, I wonder why the divorce rate is so high. I'm telling you what. Many homes are being put together with no love. I'm talking about the right kind of love. It's just put together. And then there takes on a sad, sad thing. Some homes are being kept together because of responsibility. Some homes are being kept together because, well, now we've got the family, we've got the children, we've got this, we've got that. And that is the ingredient that keeps them together. My friend, listen to me. Before you go and get married, some of you young folks, be sure you've got the love of God in it. The Bible said, a man shall love his wife as God loved the church and gave himself for it. So many today, homes are miserable. So you can say amen. Both of you better say amen at the same time, though. Homes are miserable. They've got the right kind of furniture, the right kind of carpet. They got the right this and the right that, the car and money or this, that, and the other. But there's that one ingredient. No love. No love. God said, love your wives. As Christ loved the church and gave himself. Now, many told you to love your wife, but this is not meant to be funny. Wives, he never told you to love your husbands. What'd you laugh like that for? Never even said you had to. But you know what? And I'm not trying to add anything to the scriptures. You should. I see homes, folks, this is getting to be crucial. It really is. This is getting worse than that. You said, I thought you were going to bless us this morning. No, this is the blistering service. I see little old girls getting married. You've heard the story, haven't you? Where the little girl was married and They had the shower, all the showers and all of that. And she's getting married to this young man. And they married right after the shower. And she called her mama the next day just bawling her eyes out. And their mama said, "Honey, what's the matter? You just got married. You ought to be happy." And she said, "Mama, somebody played the cruelest trick on me in the world." And she said, "What is it?" She said, "Somebody gave me a stick with straws on the bottom." And she said, "What is that, Mama?" And she said, "It's a broom, honey." And she said, "What do you do with it?" Said, "You sweep the floor." And she said, "Well, Mama, there ain't no switch on it to turn it on." I'm going to tell you, girls, there better be a little tad of maturity before you jump into a marriage. And I'm going to tell you, boys, I don't know. I don't have no stomach troubles I don't know of, but they tell me these canned biscuits will kill you. You can go down the street early in the morning and hear people popping them cans on the side. And this same girl was crying, and she said, "Mama," said, "I've opened 15 cans of biscuits, and there's not a little doughboy in none of them." Andy, are you listening, son? What are you laughing about, Tim? Amen. See, I'm going to tell you something. There's more to this getting married. And I'm not trying to be vulgar. And I'm a gentleman and I'm a Christian. There's more to this marriage business and loving one another than just jumping in the bed. Amen. Amen. Now, you can stop my offer if you want to, but I'm telling the God's truth. There better be a more substantiating glue and an adhesive in your marriage than just saying, "I do." Here's a lot of folks today are having another religious problem about this matter of love. The only person they love is their self. Here's a man in Luke chapter 18 in verses 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are." I used to pastor that bird right there. Proud. Boastful. I'm going to tell you something. Don't you get in your car and say to your wife, "He really let you have it." No. I'm going to tell you, some of the dumbest people I ever met in my life are husbands. Don't you look at me like that either. I'm going to tell you, before they get married, Lord, every whisker of shame, that good smelling stuff is on. Oh, yes. And she comes out to get in the car, and you said, "Oh, honey, bunch, baby, doll, baby, sugar, baby, let me open the door for your little, don't get your little feet dirty." And right after the marriage, "Hey, old woman, open the door yourself if you want it open." Where'd that love go? Huh? Something must have gone wrong. Amen? I see the little kids don't no more know where home's at than a nothing. Don't have the faintest idea. Now, this may be my last time to preach here, but I'm going to finish up while I'm plowing. Amen? See, homes need something more than a chair to sit in. Amen. Homes need something more than a car in the driveway. There needs to be that cohesiveness, that glue that binds that couple together. Rather than just loving yourself and being proud of yourself. Said, "I thank thee that I'm not as other men are." Then there's another thing here. We see this. Six things does God hate. Yea, seven are abominations to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands. All that proud look gets you, don't it? You can just see it on Baptist. I'm cool. You dig me? Oh, folks, that ingredient of love melts that pride. Gets rid of it. Notice something else. I've got to hurry. I've just got seven more pages outlined. There's another love that we know today. The Bible said, love not. Now, isn't that strange? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me ask you today, where is the seed of love in your life? What do you love? Who do you love? How do you love? Then there's another thing that being the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. I'm going to tell you preachers or any preacher, if the only motivation that gets you behind the pulpit is to get a pat on the back after service, or to get the praise or the applause of men, what's wrong with you? You're in love with yourself and you want the praise of men. The preacher that worth his salt, the preacher that's worth anything in the world has only one motivation to get up here, and that's to magnify the Lord. Then there's not only the love of men's praise, but there's the love of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The root of all. It's a beginning source. It's the beginning factor. Notice what it said. While some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O men, flee these things. Follow after righteousness and godliness, faith and love and patience and meekness. The rich young ruler came to Christ and said, good master. Good master, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him. Jesus laid it out before him and he said, honor the Father. He said, I've done all this in my youth up. Then he put his finger right on the source. He said, sell what you've got and give to the poor. That done it. That done it. Sell everything you've got. Sell it. Now you say, well, now Preacher Blue, if he'd done that, he'd been poor. Yeah, he'd been putting himself in the place of somebody else. He could realize their hurt and their pain like he hadn't before. Notice something. I'm trying to hurry because I get tired real fast. Then the virus, another kind of love. The Bible said in John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And men love darkness. Why? Rather than good, because their deeds are evil. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Notice something else. Meet some men that fell in love with the right one. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of this thing. We started out talking about loving the Lord, and now then we're going to meet some men that did. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, but none of these things move me, but I count not my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. and the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know who Paul, fell in love with? Jesus. Here was a murderer, an abuser of mankind, and here was a man that he hated anything that wasn't just like him. But all of a sudden, one day on the road to Damascus, he fell in love with the Lord. And there wasn't the same anymore. The next man that I want to just talk about very briefly. You don't hear him talked about much. Oh, you hear him mentioned occasionally. But you don't hear him talked about an awful lot. He was a deacon. Just a deacon. But he was a preaching deacon. One day, old Brother Stevens went downtown. And I don't know whether he's on a street corner or not. I don't know whether he's at Main Market or where he's at. But all of a sudden, he looked this crowd over. And you talk about letting them have it. He did. If ever a man called him by name, Ed, he called him by name. And in that crowd, you know who there was there that day? A little 110-pound Jew named the Apostle Paul. Wasn't an Apostle Paul, he was Saul. But there he was, and those fellows that Stevens was talking about got so mad, they took their coats off and went over here to Paul and laid their coats down at his feet for them to guard them. And they began to pick up rocks and stone this dear, dear deacon. Sometimes you don't apply the word stoning. Can you imagine a big old rock hitting the side of a man's head or begin to hit him, one stone right after another? And all of a sudden, he goes down. I'm going to tell you something. Something's about to happen here that Paul never did get over. Never did get over. Never did get over. Here was Stephen, the blood running down. Now, somebody, who was Stephen? He was a man that fell in love with the Lord. He was a man that counted not his life dear. He was a man that was ready at the moment's notice to die for the Lord. And he suddenly went down on his knees. And the look that was on that man's face, Saul never did get over it. Suddenly, Stevens looked up. Now, the Bible said this. This isn't on my writing. And he said, I see Jesus.
Amen.
I see Jesus. And like Brother Calvin said, if you ever see him, you won't ever get over it. If you ever fall in love with that man. Now listen, Stephen said something else. He said, I see Jesus standing. Standing. And you know how many of you know what Stephen's face looked like? What do you think his face looked like? Like an angel. Well, we're not talking about just an average Baptist here. We're talking about somebody that was so in love with Jesus, he couldn't even hate them men. Don't hold this to their charge. Don't lay this at their feet. They don't know no better. But I want to tell you, old brother Saul never did get over it. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I told myself I couldn't walk up and down these too many times today. If you ever get a glimpse of Christ on Calvary and fall in love with Him, you know what it'll make you do? It'll make you love the house of God. It'll make you reach in your pocketbook when the time comes to put tithe in. He said, I'm going to give at the cause of Christ. May go on! Am I right? You know what the love, fall in love with Jesus will do? It'll take bitterness and anger out of your heart. It'll take jealousy and strife out of you. Say amen to me, folks. You know what? When you fall in love with Jesus, what it'll make you want to do? It'll make you want to live right more than anything in your life. It will not be just a little, well, here it is Wednesday night, here it is Wednesday, here it is Sunday, here I've got to go. No. The Bible said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Are you glad when it comes time to go to church? Now, don't lie, the booger man will get you. Are you really glad? Some of you got, I'm seeing some of you sitting there with your fingers crossed like that. Let me ask you something. Is there somebody right now, just don't, I won't tell nobody if you won't. I really won't. I'm honest, I won't. That you're just kind of mad at and upset with, and his name's your husband? Did you have a fuss on the way to church? Huh? Did you? Huh? Not this morning. You know some of you families are the biggest hypocrites in the world. You'll drive to church just almost going into licks. I mean, just mad as a devil at one another. Oh, I wish I could strangle her. And you'll drive up in the yard. You better listen to me, Henry. And you'll drive up in the yard and put a smile on your face and say, let me help you out, darling. What you're trying to say is, let me help you out of this life and another one. What did you say? You didn't think I heard you come up the road, did you? Hello? See, this thing, love, is not just a little infatuation thing. You don't just get infatuated with the Lord Jesus. You fall in love with Him. You love Him more than you love your own life. You love Him more than you love anything in the world. Hello? Oh, folks. Makes me love everybody. Sing it with me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. See, when we really fall in love with Jesus, when we love Him more than we love our own life, there will be a transformation take place in your life that's never been there before. Hello? And I want to say something to you. I want to love Him more than I've ever loved Him in my life. As time goes along, we ought to love Him more. Say amen. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. This morning I want to ask you a question. Some of you young folks that are approaching matrimony, don't you take one step farther until you determine whether it's real love or not.
Amen.
If you have to eat that ring that you've already bought, take some Pepto-Bismol and eat it. What are you so quiet about? Say amen, Joe Gouging. Well, I notice you ain't said amen either. Before you walk up in front of that preacher and stand there glassy-eyed and said, I do, make sure you know. And running back to mom and dad is not the answer. Hello. Now, if you don't shake hands with me after service, I'll know I plowed your corn. Amen. Paul, I count not my life dear. How he was so in love with Jesus, he said, this life don't mean one cotton picking thing to me. I love him more than I love my own life. Now, this message this morning has not been a salvation message. But I'm going to say to you right now, it ought to be a disturbing factor in your life to see the ratio of the divorce rate climbing higher and higher and little old bitty kids coming in this world that's not responsible for the mess they're in. They're not responsible for it. It's a disturbing factor. It's a disturbing factor. And I want to say to you today, there's a husband and wife that maybe there's been some difficulty among you, between you. This morning would be a good time to. You say, well, everybody know we're having trouble. I don't care. Get your cotton picking pride out of the way. And some of them be sitting back there with too much pride to even move. I'm going to tell you something right now. There better be some getting right with God on some things in America today. There better be some real things. God, help us to get some things straightened out. Come on to the piano. I'm tired. Oh, help us to look at this word love. What it's all. I haven't even scratched the surface. I haven't even done anything. But my friend, there's some things we need to take care of today. Help us to do it. Play softly. Play softly. Every head bowed. And I'm going to ask you something this morning. I don't want anybody to look. I don't want a single solitary soul to look. I don't want nobody. I don't want the pastor. I don't want the deacons. I don't want nobody to look. I want nobody. I'm the only one looking. I wonder right now if there's somebody that will lift up your hand right now and say, preacher, I'm not in love with Jesus like I ought to be, and I needed that message. I go to church, but I'm not really sold out, deeply committed in love with Him like I ought to be. And I need prayer. Would you raise your hand? Would you just slip up your hand? Yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. God bless you. I need to be in love with Him more than I am. And I need to be more committed than I am. I wonder if there's something else today that God spoke to your heart in this message. Will you raise your hand and say, preacher, I needed that today and I need prayer. Will you pray for me? Would you raise your hand right now? Yes. Our Father, we're not going to be lingering the message in the time we're here together. But God, if you took this little simple message and used it to glorify your name, I pray that there'll be an amends and there'll be things that'll be taken care of. Oh God, help us to fall in love with you. Help us, dear Lord, to be that committed man or woman we ought to be. Have your way, I pray. God, have your way. Lord, husbands, love your wife. Help children to be obedient to their parents. And then God, help wives to be that obedient wife to their husbands they ought to be. Have your way in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. If there's anyone here right now that needs to come and get on your knees, have a time of prayer, the altar's open. Sing it.